This is part two of a Nick Pope interview for AboveTopSecret.com by Agent Smith. Please download part one for previous material.
Okay, moving on again. What is your opinion of the Fame Disclosure project, and what, how do you see it? Do you see it as being credible at all? Or?
I think an admirable initiative to place into the public domain some fairly important bits of testimony. I mean, in fact, I have participated in the disclosure exercise myself, simply by virtue of giving an interview about my time on the UFO project.
Yes.
The former chief of the defense staff, Lord Hill Norton, again, he gave a position statement to the disclosure project. So there are some important people who we know, not least because there's a paper trail to back this up, are who they say they are, did what they said they did. I think the problem with Disclosure Project, and I'm not going to name names, but there are one or two people who've gotten into that by virtue of making some quite extraordinary claims, which are, to use a phrase, evidentially problematic when it comes to verifying them.
Yes.
And for legal reasons, I won't name names or say any more than that, but anyone can make a wild claim that they were part of some sort of government program. But people that really were, there'll be a verifiable paper trail, and indeed people will probably know because they'll have made statements on the record at the time.
Right.
I mean, when I was doing the job at the Ministry of Defence, I appeared, for example, as an official spokesperson on a television programme. So if anyone turned round to say, well, that Nick Pope who claims to have worked at the Ministry of Defence, how do we know? Well, because the Ministry of Defence will verify it.
Quite.
The same with any of the people that ran the United States UFO programme, Project Blue Book. There's no dispute about who these people are, what they did. But then you get someone coming along and saying, well, I worked on a covert unit. It's an interesting story, but there's no proof.
Okay. Moving on again. Okay, what's your take on the late Milton W. Cooper and his work?
Again, I really don't know enough about him and his research to really comment in any great detail. But I think in general terms, again, I say I do have some problems with some of the claims that he made, and I'll say no more than that.
Okay. I mean, which known UFO case, in your opinion, would be best evidence or proof of extraterrestrial visitation, in your personal opinion?
Well, I think I'd probably look back at the Rendlesham case and say that in terms of, I mean, a number of things make a UFO case significant evidentially. It could be that the witness is a trained observer, such as a police officer, a pilot. It could be that a visual UFO was a UFO seen visually was simultaneously tracked on radar. It could be that there's a convincing photograph or video that has been subjected to a proper scientific analysis. It could be that there's some form of physical trace evidence where something has landed, left radiation readings, burn marks, something like that. All sorts of things can push a UFO sighting into the category of really quite interesting reports. I think with the Rendlesham case, you had an awful lot of these things come together at once.
Okay. I do know, yeah, it is one of my personal favourites. I've downloaded it from the MOD website, and most of it is a lot of information there to go through, but...
Yeah, I think the it's the old joke about the best place to hide a book is in a library. There are so many papers in that file, but most of it's public correspondence.
Yes.
You strip out the public correspondence and drill down into the documents from the Defence Intelligence staff, from the Air Force Secretariat, and from the radar specialists, and that's where the meat of the case is.
Indeed, yes. I do notice a lot of the documents are repeated, where people have written notes on them and they've gone back and forth, and, you know, it can be quite daunting at first.
Yes. I think most of the important documents are in the first of the five particular hyperlinks on the Ministry of Defence website. I've actually put what I believe are the most significant documents on my website as well. I think it is possible, but frankly, the public letters are interesting, but they're not important in terms of the trail of evidence.
Okay. You mentioned your website there. Now's a good time. I would like to tell our listeners about your website and where they can find it.
My website is simply nickpope.net, and on it I give an overview of my official research and investigation at the MOD. I place a series of documents into the public domain. I put on some material on crop circles, and I put on a series of essays, really, detailing parts of the government's UFO project. I hope people will find that interesting, and of course they can contact me via the website. It's one of my long-term projects to expand that site much more. Mm-hmm. But I receive a lot of interesting feedback on it, so I think it's a site that people enjoy having a look around and getting a little bit of an insight into what it was like running a government UFO program.
Indeed, yes, I have seen your site myself, and I must say it is very good, and there's some very good information on there which I'd highly recommend for listeners to have a look at there. Moving on again, or do you have any information that you can tell us about the famous black triangles that so many people have seen? I believe there's quite a large incident recorded in, was it Brazil or Belgium?
Belgium, yes.
That's it, the Belgium incident, where there's some quite good footage shown on their national news there. What's your opinion on that?
Well, triangular UFOs have been seen for some years now. There was a wave of sightings in the Hudson Valley in the States. The Belgium case you mentioned was very significant. They'd had some intriguing UFO sightings throughout 1989, and then on a particular night in 1990, on the 30th of March, the Belgian Air Force began to track a UFO on radar, and at the same time began to receive reports both from members of the public and from the gendarmerie. And the Air Force then scrambled two F-16 fighter interceptors, and a game of, well, frankly, cat and mouse took place in the Belgian skies for the next hour or so.
Right.
as the F-16s locked on to the UFO, and each time they locked on, the UFO shifted its position very rapidly, and the aircraft had to reacquire the target. I use the word target. There was no intention of shooting this down.
No.
When I say lock on and target, I'm simply talking about going up and trying to take a look and see what this thing was intruding into Belgian national airspace.
Indeed. I mean, has there ever been any sort of formal conclusion to that?
No, the Belgians were quite open about it. I certainly heard about this case. It occurred just before I took up my post, but I made inquiries into it through the British Embassy in Belgium, the air attaché there spoke to the F-16 pilots and to the general who had, in fact, given a press conference about all this and said, yes, this happened. It's a real mystery. We don't know.
Excellent.
Which was, a very, very straightforward and honest assessment of the facts. But we had a case 3 years later, right in the middle of my tour of duty, where again these triangular-shaped UFOs were seen all over Britain on a particular night, again in March 1993.
Right.
And most intriguing part of that UFO wave was the fact that the UFO flew over two military bases in the Midlands, RAF Cosford and RAF Shawbury. It was seen by the RAF police at the first base and by the Met officer at the second. And again, their reports, and indeed reports from a vast number of civilians and police officers up and down the country, talked about this triangular-shaped craft. It certainly seems to be the shape of UFOs that most people are reporting. Now, there is a theory that, people will say, well, couldn't this just be some sort of secret prototype?
Yeah.
The answer to that is, well, I can't, for obvious reasons, not least because I have no detailed need to know of these black projects, go into any detail about them. But the headline point is we know where we fly our own bits of kit. So we don't test secret prototypes over the heads of Joe Public.
No.
Where someone can get a photo or a video and put it on the front page of the paper. No, if you've got secret prototypes to test, without going into the details, we have places where these things are flown.
Well, indeed, yes.
As does every nation. And of course, there are things under development, prototypes and such like, that you won't see at the Farnborough or Paris Air Show for about 10 years. But again, as I say, we know where we fly our own aircraft, whether they're operational or prototype, so we can quickly eliminate that from our UFO inquiries.
Point. Okay. Moving on to briefly onto another subject, which we know you have an interest in from your website. Cattle mutilations. Are you aware? I mean, are the mutilations consistent between the United States and Britain?
No, I don't believe they are. I made some attempts through somebody at what was then the Ministry of Agriculture, Fisheries and Food, now DEFRA, to ascertain whether we were having any unexplained cattle or other animal mutilations in the UK. And there was an intriguing parallel mystery about these big cat sightings. And certainly there were certainly cases where animals were being attacked and killed, but I came to the conclusion that these were attacks being caused by a small population of big cats, lynxes, panthers, or whatever, living wild in the British countryside. And I think there are increasing evidence to suggest that there is such a population.
Yes.
Of big cats. Not at all the same as the sorts of reports coming in from the United States, where quite horrific injuries and marks are on the animals, and parts of their genitalia are gouged out, and evidence of some sort of exsanguination of some of the carcasses, all these sorts of wild accounts. But I wasn't really able to verify any of that, because of course my brief when running the UFO project was purely national, so I had my hands full.
Yes.
Investigating what was going on in Britain. I had no remit and no jurisdiction to go any wider than that.
Okay. I mean, from your own personal research, I mean, what was your opinion of the more, well, should we say, interesting cases?
I honestly don't know. I really haven't researched the American cases in any detail, and I think I would need to have done that to come to a firm conclusion on it. All I can say is that I did my level best to find out whether this was happening in the UK, and satisfied myself that it wasn't. As I say, with the important rider about these big cat attacks.
Okay, sort of moving to finish off now, got a last question here from another member. Do you have access to information concerning UFOs, or did you, that is not in the public domain, but cannot tell us because of security concerns? And also the follow-up, obvious follow-up question to that, would you tell us if you did?
Yes, I think, I suspect you'll find on most subjects within government, there are a number of documents and a wealth of information in the public domain, but an awful lot of things that for whatever reason, cannot at the moment be made public. Yes, I know things about UFOs that are not in the public domain and probably won't be, and I can tell you that. I can't tell you what they are, of course.
Of course not. Okay. Well, I'd like to say thank you very much, and it has been a huge pleasure to talk to you, and I'm sure our members will enjoy listening to this podcast as much as we've enjoyed making it.
Okay, well, thank you very much for the invitation.
That's no problem. So on behalf of myself and everyone on Above Top Secret, we'd like to thank you for your participation, and do please feel free, more than welcome, to join us on the board any time you wish.
Thank you very much.
Okay. So once again, thank you, and I'd like to say a big thank you to all the ATS members that submitted questions to make this programme possible.
Okay, there we have it. I hope everyone enjoyed that. It's certainly very informative, I think. Answered a lot of questions, probably left doors open to ask a few more even. Hopefully we'll get some more programmes like this in the future, where we get the opportunity to ask people like Nick, and get their sort of viewpoint on things, and ask some of the questions that we'd like answered. Anyway, I think I'll leave you all on that note tonight, and so good night, everybody, and stay safe.